We see JP Morgan quietly over the last 3 years has amassed over 800 million ounces of silver in their house account, physical silver. Now, that's the largest physical position the world has ever seen at one time. What you have right now are commercial banks pushing the price down, creating inequities in the marketplace, pushing the price down to create a perception of reality. There are a lot of people who would believe that one of two entities are standing behind JP Morgan as a customer, either the Chinese or the U.S. government. Want to start reading data and start getting some information that is independent of the mainstream, and you'll find very quickly that there's a smoking gun and people ought to prepare.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This interview, I have Andy Scheckman. He's the president of Miles Franklin. Great precious metal company. But what he's going to be talking about is really interesting on how the silver market is currently being cornered and that nobody's doing anything about it. So what's behind that? And we see, first of all, explains what's really going on and how the hoard, this is JP Morgan, how the hoard is 8 times bigger than anything ever in history. And who's behind that? He doesn't think it's JP Morgan. So we talk about it, even though JP Morgan's the one on paper doing it. So we talk about that and what that could mean to the future of the world and to us. Very interesting conversation, and I don't think anybody's talking about it to this degree. So I want you to hold on and watch this. And before we get into this, I want to tell you about my last interview that I did with Lee Wanta. Most people were really happy I did the interview because I had a lot of listeners asking to do it. I had the opportunity, I heard about him a couple years ago. I had the opportunity maybe a couple months ago to interview him, and I sat on it for a while because I wanted to vet enough of it to make sure that I thought it was real. What my goal isn't to filter things for listeners. I don't want to filter. A lot of people think that we need to be careful. We don't want to confuse people. We want to protect them. That's not what, you guys are too smart. Not here to filter information. But what I want to do is I want to make sure that I vet people enough that I don't give you bogus disinformation. And, you know, I have people saying that Lee Wanta was disinformation, but I got to tell you, I talked to at least 6 sources, 2 of his attorneys, and everything, all the documents that I can check into are checking out. In fact, I talked to one source that actually thoroughly looked through all the court cases and documents, and everything checked out that he has been saying. The witness, when he was put into a mental institution, you gotta watch and listen to his story. She was saying that he wasn't crazy. He was set up. All the documents that I can see show this, that there's something behind this. For those of you who don't know the story, Lee Wanta claims that he was mandated by President Reagan to dismantle or to break up the Soviet Union and create a win-win situation so that we can avoid a world war, because remember, we're in the Cold War and it was a scary situation, and find a win-win solution in the long term. And that's what he claims he did, and he talks about it, and he says he has all this money that he, $26 trillion, that was supposed to be earmarked for paying off the debt and building a high-speed rail across the country. I can't prove all of that. What I can prove is that his attorneys said that he was constantly talking to heads of state, that that he was set up, documents show that, and all these sources. Now, I can't prove that he has that amount of money. It doesn't make, you know, I can't prove that kind of stuff. But what I can do, I don't have if I was like Anderson Cooper and had being paid $20 million a year and had a full staff that could go out and look at every single document, maybe I could prove something for you. But I can't. I don't have the ability. And even then, it's like a spider web of crap in the financial industry. It's really hard to get at all those documents. But what I can show, and what the documents and all the sources I talk to, is that there's merit to this story. So all I'm going to do, because I do interviews and I bring people forward, and sometimes I really dive in and then I give you, you know, do investigative journalism. But a lot of times I bring somebody that I think has merit and has a good story, and I interview them. And then you, because you're so smart, I got the smartest listeners on the internet, it's for you to have more exposure to information. I don't believe in filtering and protecting you. I think if there's merit, you need to be exposed to it. That's my goal. So for those of you that push back on that story, saying it's disinfo, I shouldn't have showed people that, That's bogus because these listeners are too smart. There's merit to some of this. I don't know what it is. The merit could be to the whole thing. But these listeners are too smart. It gives them more information to go off of. So that being said, I want to get back into the Andy Scheckman thing and this cornering the silver market. He also sticks around for my patrons and talks about palladium and platinum and how that industry, the anomalies in that industry are just as goofy as in the silver. And I don't know if it's just as goofy, but it's pretty goofy in that. And why? It's a whole different market. It's a total different reason. So you want to stick around for that. And then the last thing is there's a free fasting summit that's coming up at the beginning of January. And I got to tell you, when I started doing intermittent fasting, I was plateauing. I could not lose weight. I got into my early 40s and I started gaining weight. It was awful. I know it was hormonal and all sorts of other crap. And I gained all this weight. And then I said, I'm done. I'm going to exercise. And I exercised and I got healthy and I lost 10 pounds and I couldn't lose the rest. And so I went and I did this intermittent fasting and I lost another 10 pounds. I got past that plateau and I'm telling you, it's the best. I feel the best I felt. I still have maybe like 5 to 10 pounds I want to lose because I want to get back to what I was when I was a young adult out of college. But got to tell you, that was the best thing I ever done. And they're finding that there's other things with fasting as far as helping repair your immune system, helping repair your DNA, all sorts of amazing things. So there's a link below for the free fasting summit, and they give you a free gift as well, a free ebook on a guide to fasting. So I suggest you look into that. So now let's get into my interview with Andy Scheckman. Hi, Andy. Welcome back to the program.
Hi, Sarah. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
We were talking beforehand about how the price manipulation is just incredible right now. Can you talk a little bit about some of the anomalies that you're seeing in the gold and silver markets?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest anomaly that we're seeing right now, Sarah, and I would classify this as the buying opportunity of a generation, is in silver. I say that to you with all sincerity. When we take a look at silver, some things are really, really popping out to me. Number one, the gold to silver ratio. If we look at the ratio of how many ounces of silver it takes to buy an ounce of gold, we can go all the way back hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years and we can see a 15.5 or a 16 to 1 ratio. Geologically, silver is 15.5 times more abundant than gold is in the Earth's crust. And for many, 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 many decades, 16 to 1 was the ratio that was used in finance and in industry. If we look at the last 100 years, if we were to Google silver to gold ratio, you'd see a chart that would pop up and you'd see a 40 to 1 relationship, almost dead set, right? As obvious as you can see for 100 years, 40 to 1 has been the ratio. If we narrowed it down to 50 years, the last five decades, that ratio has been 43, 44 to 1, just a little bit higher than the 40 to 1 ratio we've seen for 100 years. If we take a look at what we see right now, we see an 85 or an 86 to 1 ratio. Now, that is as unusual as 4 feet of snow in Phoenix in January. If people were to wake up in Phoenix and found 4 feet of snow on the ground, they wouldn't rush out to buy snowmobiles and or pull in their lawn furniture. They would realize it's an anomaly. And that's where we are right now with the gold to silver ratio. But if that was all I were to see, just that ratio that was so out of whack, that in and of itself would make me want to look more into acquiring silver or trading my gold for silver. But when we take a look at the periphery, we see some really, really interesting things that will put an exclamation point at what I'm saying. And when we take a look at the most sophisticated traders on the globe, the commercial banks, we see JP Morgan quietly over the last 3 years has amassed over 800 million ounces of silver in their house account, physical silver. Now, that's the largest physical position the world has ever seen at one time. That is eight times the position that the Hunt brothers tried to acquire in 1980. It doesn't get much bigger than that, to be honest with you. And if we look at an 85 to 1 ratio, it's been equaled or bettered one time in the last 50 years. And that was in 1993, a brief moment in 1993 where we saw a ratio at this level or better. So we put it all together. What we see is a ratio so far out of whack, it's unbelievable. The most sophisticated traders on the globe amassing the largest physical position the world has ever seen, and quietly over the last month have done the ninjutsu move and have flip-flopped their positioning on the COMEX market, which is another highly unusual development in the respect that the commercial banks have been long in silver three times in 50 years. This is the third time. 99% of the time, the commercial banks are the ones who are shorting the market. And the funds, the mutual funds, the hedge funds, all of these funds are typically the ones that are going long. But the short fund phenomena is a new development where all these mutual funds and hedge funds are trying to outsmart the market. And they are creating short funds. They've created the largest short position the COMEX market has ever seen. Who's taken the other side of that trade? The most sophisticated, well-funded, well-informed, influential traders on the globe, the commercial banks. Commercial banks are now going long on paper. They're going long on physical. And because of all of this manipulation in the price of gold and silver have created anomalies like this gold to silver relationship. And I believe truly in my heart, they have pushed the price down below moving averages, below resistance levels, and created a perception of reality that equities are good and commodities are bad. And that has allowed them to amass the largest physical position the world has ever seen at one time. And yet nobody but Ted Butler, and maybe myself, are talking about it. And it's a huge development. And the bottom line is, if you own gold, you got to think hard about trading it for silver right now because of this anomaly. And it's the exact same thing that we're seeing in platinum and palladium. If I own palladium, I'd be trading it for platinum right now because these anomalies are once in a five decade occurrences. And in the case of platinum and palladium, it's never been like this. It's the greatest discrepancy we've ever seen in the two markets.
Well, if it used to be 15 to 1, why are we sitting at even at 50 to 1? You know what I'm saying? How did it get to be in this last century that things changed so rapidly?
Well, what you have right now are commercial banks pushing the price down, creating inequities in the marketplace, pushing the price down to create a perception of reality. Let's go back 10 years. Ted Butler is someone that all of your listeners should follow. Ted Butler has done an amazing job at identifying this market behavior by J.P. Morgan. And if we go back over the last several years with the way that the J.P. Morgan has done things, what we will see is over 10 years, they have never lost a penny, not one penny, on any of the trades they have ever made. He's identified this. In other words, they've traded tens of millions of ounces of physical silver. They've done thousands of trades on the COMEX market, and they have never once lost a penny, not one losing trade. That's a mathematic impossibility, yet J.P. Morgan has found a way to do it. But the interesting thing is, over the last 10 years, as they have pushed the paper price down, not losing a penny, it hasn't been but just the last few years that they've accumulated the physical. So in other words, in a 10-year period, over 70% of the time, they didn't own the physical. They just made fortunes pushing the price around. They have created a perception of reality over most of the last decade that has allowed them the ability to push that ratio down to make everyone look elsewhere. Because if you realize that the world uses technical analysis to gauge financial decisions, if we push the prices down below resistance level and moving averages and technically make it look bad, everyone else is over here looking at the stock market and the equity indices, and they're pushing and pushing and pushing down the commodities that they want to themselves acquire, but they have to do it through misdirection. Misdirection meaning the no-look pass. We make this area look bad, we make this area look good, the equities and the paper assets. When the commodities are being pushed down, they come in when no one's looking over the last 3 years, and they gobble up the largest physical position the world has ever seen without any competition. So it's about misdirection and creating a perception of reality that has allowed them to corner literally the physical supply of silver. And I believe they're trying to do the same thing with gold and platinum. And you could argue with fossil fuels and base metals like copper and aluminum, they have created perceptions of reality with levered futures contracts that allows them to gobble up the physical supply. When I talk about levered futures contracts, to give you an idea of how much that leverage really comes into play, as a precious metals company who hedges its exposure to purchases and sales, If I want to buy or sell a 100-ounce gold contract that will control about 130,000 in metal, cost me just over $3,000. So imagine I'm a commercial bank with tons and tons and tons of money and influence, and I know where all the resistance levels are. I'm the one selling the options. I know where the technical resistance and inflection points are. All I need to do is buy up or sell down these levered contracts, which give me so much juice into the marketplace that I can create a reality or a perception of reality by overwhelming the funds who don't have as deep of pockets as JP Morgan or Goldman Sachs or Citibank does. And they can then create this perception of reality that allows them on a big picture basis to come in and buy all the physicals, because people are looking at it and saying, well, these numbers are ridiculous. Why would anyone own physical right now? Why would anyone own gold or silver when these technical levels look so bleak? So it's misdirection.
Well, what are they trying to do? Because if they're collecting the largest hoard of silver ever in history, they have a plan. I mean, you don't do that without a plan. First of all, it's disturbing that they've never lost a dime or a penny on trading. That means that there's something going on behind the scenes. That's a major red flag. Second of all, what are they doing?
Well, there are a lot of people who would believe that one of two entities are standing behind JP Morgan as a customer, either the Chinese or the US government, one or the other. And I could make an argument for both. But the United States Geological Society, it's a branch of the US government, came out a few years ago and said they believe silver would be the first element struck in from the periodic table because it's a depleting asset. And so much of it that's been used in industry over the last 80 years is gone. Anything that conducts electricity, anything, has silver in it. So when you go back to, you know, over the last 80 years and all the things that have been used that conduct electricity, hair dryers, calculators, anything, a light switch, a refrigerator, a television, anything, it has silver in it, a modicum, a tiny bit, cell phones. And most of that stuff that you've touched over your whole adult life and your childhood, so much of that stuff is in landfills, never to be recaptured. And because silver is used in such tiny amounts, it doesn't make sense to pull it out of the things that it's used for in industry. Whereas gold, because it's so much more valuable, it makes sense to pull a fifth of an ounce of gold out of a motherboard, but not silver. And so if we go back and look at all the silver that's been used over the last 80 years in industry that is now depleted, we're looking at a resource that has become harder and harder and harder to find. You have to dig deeper and go further. But when you realize silver is so very important, something as mundane as military, okay? It takes 500 ounces of silver in the tip of every Tomahawk cruise missile to make it work. So silver is very, very, very important. And it's probably the most important element in terms of electric conductivity. And the government realizes that. So either the US or the Chinese government are putting a play on and saying to JP Morgan, we will ignore antitrust violations. We will give you the green light to go ahead and accumulate all the physical silver. And so when you look at people who have been screaming for justice in this market, that JP Morgan is manipulating the market, screaming for years and nothing has happened. A couple investigations by the CTFC, which have come up blank, nothing has happened. People are screaming until just recently. Just recently, for the first time, a trader at JP Morgan has been found guilty and has admitted to manipulating the price of gold and silver. This is about 6 weeks ago. It's interesting to note that things have started to change a little bit since then. Almost to the day that this trader came out and admitted to the Justice Department that he has been manipulating the price of gold and silver at the behest and knowledge of his seniority at JP Morgan, almost to the day JP Morgan got out of the short position, out of their short position on the COMEX and has gone long on paper. I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, but you have an admission of guilt by a senior trader at JP Morgan, an investigation ensuing by the Justice Department, which is ongoing, and almost simultaneously, the commercial banks pull out of their short position on COMEX and go long for only the third time in 50 years.
Well, do you think it's a timing? Like, okay, we have enough hoard now, so now we can...
One or the other. At some point, that has to be. You know, people will say, well, how long can the manipulation go on? Well, until it doesn't. Until finally no one wants to sell at these absurd levels. Until finally the people who are selling realize the most sophisticated traders on the globe are amassing the largest position the world has ever seen. So in other words, you have to realize that There's a book that I read called The Art of War, and it's a fantastic book. It was written in the 5th century by a Chinese military strategist named Sun Tzu. That book, The Art of War, is taught in every major business school in America on corporate hierarchy. It's taught in every major law school in the world, just about, for sure in the United States, on formulating arguments. It's mandatory reading at West Point. It's mandatory reading if you're a CIA officer. It's mandatory reading for just about every Japanese business executive. And this is a book that was written thousands of years ago on misdirection, on how to beat your punch without or your opponent without throwing a punch. Bill Belichick, who's probably the most famous football coach, reads it and employs it in strategy for a football strategy. The point of that diatribe is that misdirection is pervasive and it's everywhere and it's big time in business. And the most sophisticated traders on the globe are using the price to misdirect and herd the people into a specific direction while they then have carte blanche to accumulate a very, very important asset, commodity that has necessities in military and in many, many, many in pharmaceutical, in many, many, many other areas. It's indispensable. And so if I had to guess, the U.S. government said, we're going to let you push the price around and make all the money that you want. We want the physical silver. Figure out a way to get the silver, get the stockpile. We will not come after you for pushing the price around. But with all of the people screaming, well, you know, finally someone's come out and maybe it's to quiet the masses. I don't know. But I find it interesting that they all of a sudden go long in paper for only the third time in 50 years simultaneously as this person comes out and admits guilt for manipulating the market.
Well, let's talk about the silver value. It's looking like 15-to-1 ratio isn't even really accurate. And if silver is so important for a country, it's almost a national security issue.
Yeah, well, that's what a lot of people are saying. That's what a lot of people believe. That's why a lot of people would say it's the only explanation why J.P. Morgan has not been prosecuted a lot longer ago and with a lot more vengeance by the regulators. It's very obvious to most people that there has been manipulation and that there is manipulation happening and has been for quite some time. We can go all the way back to the 90s and talk about manipulation under Clinton and Greenspan and Robert Rubin and under the guise of Gibson's paradox because of the manipulation in interest rates. Manipulation goes on and on and on in all of the markets, Sarah. In fact, Chris Powell, who is the head of GATA, the Gold Antitrust Action Committee, is very fond of saying there are no more free markets, just manipulations. And I think people have to understand that manipulations are there. Misdirection is there. It's pervasive. And the way you win is to get on the side of the people manipulating it. Take a look at what the most sophisticated traders are doing. See how they're doing it. They obviously realize gold and silver are indispensable assets. And the way to manipulate it, the way to acquire it, is to push the price below levels that attract technical analysis. And when that happens, you get all the advisors, all the hedge funds, all the mutual funds, and all the newsletter writers who use technical analysis to gauge their decision-making, saying, you know what? Technicals look bad, but look at the Dow Jones. It keeps going up. And look at these assets. They keep going up. Nothing to look at here. Keep on moving. And that's what happens and allows them, the sophisticated investor, under that scenario and that environment, to come in and gobble everything up when no one's paying any attention.
Well, when the market fails, which it's going to happen at some point here, because it has to correct itself in a big way, whoever's holding that bag of silver and gold is going to be okay. And maybe that's the leverage. But do you think it could be somebody other than a government? Could it be one of those wealthy banking conglomerates, you know, families that are trying to corner the globe and our governments aren't doing anything?
You could argue that those banking conglomerates have the government in their back pocket. And so that, yeah, very much so. I mean, it's...
Because that would be scary. I mean, it's one thing if our government's doing it, and then that would be, we would be okay then if something collapsed. It's another thing if somebody's trying to corner the market and they're not related to our government, and next thing you know, the world's at their mercy.
Well, you know what? It's very interesting. There was a study done by a group out of Chicago called Ibbotson, and I believe it's IBBOTSON, something to that extreme. They're owned now by one of the big I forget the name, but one of the big stock research companies, the biggest one. And anyways, they did a report or a study which basically says that precious metals, of all of the assets on the planet, offer the greatest inverse correlation to the stock market. In other words, as the stock market goes down, precious metals will be the biggest benefactor. And maybe that's what the most sophisticated, well-funded, well-informed, and influential traders on the globe are betting on. The Fed meets today, Sarah, and conventional wisdom is that they're going to raise interest rates again. Now, why the heck would they raise interest rates to crush the economy even more than it is going to be as they continue to raise interest rates? Why would they put the brakes on? Why would they do that when they know what the outcome is going to be? Maybe they want to make Trump look like the fall guy for this. For all of the good that he's done, they want to try to pull that one plug out and make him look like the fall guy for it, which is really too bad. A lot of people think that's what's happening, because why else would you raise interest rates in the face of the economy that we're seeing right now that is beginning to show signs of trouble and weakness? Look at the stock market. It's falling, and you keep pushing the interest rates up, and you'll see the stock market fall to a much greater degree. Well, the Ibbotson study shows that the greatest inverse correlator of stock market since 1971, since we left the gold standard, is without question precious metals. So maybe that's what the big money is doing, accumulating precious metals, misdirecting the public over the first 6 months or the first year of Trump's term, pushing the price much higher in the equity markets, pushing everyone into the equity market, holding down the commodity prices so no one's looking there, which allows them to gobble up, through misdirection, the lion's share of physical commodities. Once they have that huge stockpile, and 800 million ounces is eight times what the Hunt brothers tried to get, it's a no small stockpile, not to mention the tens of thousands of ounces of gold that they've been buying. Just maybe when the market does correct, like you're talking about, and I do believe it will, and what sets it off, well, that's debatable. But when it does, you have the most sophisticated traders on the globe with the largest physical positions of metal the world has ever seen. Is that coincidence? I'm not sure. You tell me.
Well, that there's never coincidence, right? It's a planned action. When you're spending that much money and hoarding that much physical silver, there's a planned action. The question is, why is it being allowed? Why is it being allowed for them to corner the market?
Well, that's the big debate. Why is it being allowed? And is this trader who just came out and pled guilty and is being investigated by the Justice Department, was that a token? Was that just to quiet them down? I mean, just a few months ago, you had Deutsche Bank also admit guilty to pushing the price of gold and silver, manipulating the price. One of their traders admitted guilt to this as well. Little pieces falling out here and falling out there, and see, we recognize, but nothing substantive is being done. Why would they allow it? I don't know, other than to simply say it's a very, very important asset. It's a very, very important commodity. And we live in a world where information travels so rapidly, Sarah. If it became obvious that the governments or very powerful entities were trying to corner the market on silver because of its indispensable uses, how quickly would they be crowded out of that trade? How quickly would everyone jump on that trade and gobble up what the sophisticated traders are trying to buy, pushing the price up? It's the same thing as the point guard coming down the floor in basketball, doesn't look directly at the player he or she is going to pass to. It's the no-look pass. It's the fake handoff to the right and the screen pass to the left in football. Every team game in chess, you send up a pawn or a rook in one direction so the queen can flank in the other direction. Misdirection is the key to war. It is the key to game theory. It is the key to business. It is the key to all of this. Big money with big power and the ability to control and influence the media is misdirecting the public in a way so that they don't see how relevant and important it is to accumulate assets that are indirectly or inversely related to the dollar and to the stock market. They want everyone to believe that the road to retirement is paved firmly with stock certificates and mutual funds and dollar bills. And by doing that, it enables them to accumulate the lion's share of these assets without people rushing to crowd them out of the trade. And I think that the biggest problem that people have is trusting their lying eyes and not listening to their gut. Your eyes will lie to you. Your gut won't. Now, most of us go through life saying, damn it, I knew I should have done that. I saw it clearly. It was obvious to me. Why didn't I trust my gut? Because my eyes told me something different. And all I can simply tell you is that when you see the movement and the positioning by these sophisticated investors gaining almost no attention by the mainstream media, it grow with severity every single day, something to me is saying that very, very soon the significance of owning precious metals will show themselves. You don't see positioning by these types of traders accumulating such enormous amounts of physical and going long in paper at the same time that there are all of these distortions and anomalies in price supporting what they're trying to do if it weren't for real. But yet the interesting thing is pick up a USA Today, pick up a local paper in your neighborhood, go online to Yahoo Finance, go to any of these mainstream sites or publications, you'll see nothing about this. Start reading Ted Butler, start reading Gatta, and start getting some information that is independent of the mainstream, and you'll find very quickly that there's a smoking gun and people ought to prepare. If I could give one piece of advice, Sarah, to anyone out there who's listening, it would be think of the wisdom of trading your gold right now to silver. In the past 50 years, we've seen a ratio this high one time. The average over the past 50 years has been half of what it is right now. So someone who has gold should consider the wisdom of immediately trading it to silver with the expectation when that ratio normalizes, going right back into gold and doubling the amount of gold that that client started with without spending a penny. That is playing the ratio. That is how you win in this game. And the same thing if you own palladium. Get out of palladium, go back into platinum. That ratio is so far out of whack, it's ridiculous. These ratios, these anomalies are there for a reason. When we talk about it being an anomaly, or long-term price ratios are there for a reason. And when they get violated to this degree, it represents a real once-in-a-generation opportunity. In this case, a once-in-50-year opportunity that I really have never seen before. So I'm excited to tell your listeners about it. I think it's for real.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the government, because you said that if any government thought another government was doing that, they would crowd things out immediately. So that makes me think it's somebody that has global influence. Who would have that kind of
Chinese? So the question is, why would the price be this low? Do you know what the silver price is low?
Who has this much power to control the media and control the? You think it's the Chinese over the United States?
There are only two silver mines on the planet right now that are profitable: Fortuna and I think it's Silver Standard. I believe is the other one, but two. There are only two silver companies making any money at these price levels. How is it that it can be that way? How is it that the price can be below the cost of production? The price will stay this low until no one is willing to sell their silver anymore to whoever it is that's accumulating it all. Why do I think it could be the Chinese? Well, the obvious answer is they hold the treasuries. And if they came to the U.S. government and said, look, we want to accumulate metal. And if I were to back up a little further, let me answer that question by backing it up.
Well, you're saying, and you're going to back up and say it, but you're essentially saying J.P. Morgan is cornering the silver market for the Chinese.
Yes, that's exactly right. It's either the U.S. government or the Chinese. That's exactly right. And the Chinese.
But if the U.S. government was doing it, the Chinese wouldn't allow it. Well, why would the U.S. government allow the Chinese?
That's exactly right. They probably wouldn't. And that's why it makes the most sense that it is the Chinese.
The United States doesn't have the power to, do you know what I'm saying? Why wouldn't the United States do something, but the Chinese would?
Well, let's go back to Clinton and Greenspan under Robert Rubin and his strong dollar policy. Really, everything that is, when we talk about manipulation, the manipulation centers around interest rates. The interest rate policy of the Western central banks, in particular the United States, over the last 30, 40 years has been suppress the price of interest rates, keep them artificially low, because that will push people, that will A, give value to a bond market, B, give value to a stock market. It pushes people into the stock market when fixed income is so low. levies the value of the stock market. Also levies the value of the housing market, because when interest rates are very low, people want to buy houses. They can borrow money at low rates. It gives value to the two main things that make people feel wealthy, their 401k and their house. The interest rate manipulation over the last several decades has created a perception of, or an illusion of, prosperity. Okay, so along the way, and this was long before the Chinese were more of a dominant first world country. When this started, they were arguably third world in the early 90s. And the plan under Robert Rubin and Lawrence Summers, now I don't want to get too deep into it, but there's a term in economics called Gibson's paradox, which is the inverse relationship between gold and interest rates, real interest rates. Lawrence Summers, who's the chief architect of all this, when he was the president of Harvard, he won all sorts of accolades for a report he wrote with a professor from Michigan State, the last name of Barsky, called Gibson's Paradox Revisited. Lawrence Summers understands the relationship very well between interest rates and metal. And Lawrence Summers was an advisor to every single president since Clinton. He was also his second Treasury Secretary, and then advised all the presidents up through Obama. He has not advised Trump, but he was an advisor to all of the presidents since. And he very obviously understood the relationship between metals and interest rates. And so for a very long time in the 90s, in the early part of the last decade, the Western central banks would sell their gold or lease their gold to the commercial banks at tiny, tiny, tiny levels of interest, like 0.5%. Commercial banks would take that gold and drop it onto the marketplace with one obligation: take the proceeds and buy treasuries. So they would take the gold at 0.5%, sell it to the market, drive the price down, drive the price way down. And then they would take the proceeds of that short sale and buy treasuries. They got to keep the spread between the treasury market and the interest rate on the loan of gold, which was, they'd probably make 2-4% with immunity, and make hundreds of millions of dollars or more without any risk, because they were being told from the highest of high, we want you to suppress gold and suppress interest rates at the same time. You can keep the proceeds, but by selling gold and then taking the proceeds and buying treasuries, which will further suppress the treasury market, will make all of the Western central banks happy, will enrich the Western commercial banks. They're not going to care. Everybody wins. Somewhere along the line, and I think it was 2007 or 2008, the Chinese got wise to this and said, we're going to do this as well. And we could talk about this all day, but simply to say, prior to 2008, there were four banks on the COMEX market that were doing this. And by 2007 or 8 had created the largest position, short position, the world has ever seen in the COMEX market. Within 6 months or so of that happening, four became eight. And a lot of people believe those four banks were the Chinese banks who got wise to what was happening and said, we are going to accumulate metal the same way that you are, and we're not going to sell treasuries if you allow us to do it. So some people would say, I'm sorry to answer this in a very roundabout way, the reason that they would be doing this is simply that they don't want China to blow the whistle on what's been happening, and or more importantly, sell, drop the nuclear bomb by selling all of the treasuries, pushing interest rates to the moon and cratering the dollar, which they could do. So if the Chinese came to them in 07, 08 and said, listen, we know that you've been holding down the price, not only to make your dollar and all the Western currencies seem stronger than they really are, but we also know that you've been doing this because Gibson's paradox says if interest rates are low, gold and silver should go high. So they convince and come up with a plan for the central banks to sell their gold to the commercial banks to drive down the price of metal, which is the canary in the mine shaft, so that no one understands what's really happening. And at the same time, I'm sure they've been accumulating physical metal along the way as a bonus to all this. Well, the Chinese said nuts to that. We're going to do the same thing, and you're going to help us do it, or we're going to sell treasuries. It's the only explanation that would make sense as to why they have been able to violate antitrust laws, push the market around illegally, and accumulate these enormous stockpiles of gold and silver when the prices are below the cost of production. So much of what's happening, Sarah, doesn't make sense, but points to something far more nefarious than it just being a coincidence or just being part of normal business. This is a lot deeper than that. And I hate to have my conspiracy hat on, but I really do believe that there is something a lot deeper, but it's an opportunity for those of us who see it and can accumulate gold and silver at levels that are ridiculous, below the cost to pull it out of the ground. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. But now, what's the end game? What do you see? I mean, that's a scary thought for the United States, you know.
The end game is a return to normalized markets when there is no longer a bid for gold and silver at these ridiculous prices. When something like the Shanghai cash and carry market in China, which is becoming more and more influential, starts to dictate price there. The difference between the Shanghai gold market and the COMEX market is the COMEX is rehypothecated over 350 times, meaning for every 1 ounce of gold on the COMEX market, there are 350 pieces of paper that say, I own that 1 ounce of gold. It's a ridiculous gauge of what the price is. On the Shanghai market, there is no futures. It's you buy, you carry. You buy 1 ounce, you get 1 ounce. There is no levering the price. There is no futures market on the Shanghai market. It's a cash and carry market. And someday, at some point, there is belief that that will dictate the price, not the fraudulent COMEX market that is over 350 times over hypothecated. And if, in other words, if everyone who owned a COMEX contract stood for delivery, 349 of every 350 people would be screwed. That's just the bottom line.
Yeah, you don't want to own gold or silver on paper right now.
No, you don't. And the COMEX market would exemplify that. But it is also, that leverage is also given these big players the ability to create a perception of reality in the marketplace that has allowed them to acquire the world's positions that they have, these enormous positions, without competition, without people screaming, without really anyone noticing. Because it's under the cover of darkness, really.
Will we be better off when this whole thing falls down, or will we be just be a second, you know, China's going to be taking over at that point?
Well, I think China, you could argue China will take over in a lot of areas in the respect that they are the largest accumulator of metals in the planet. Not just precious metals, also rare earth metals, like things needed in batteries.
Yes.
They're the largest accumulators and producers of things that we need on the planet. And they don't sell any. They accumulate them and they produce them. Things, not paper assets, but things that are real, tangible. They build ghost cities. They have infrastructure that they build. They accumulate copper as if it's dollar bills. Everything that they are accumulating is for an end game. The Chinese think in terms of decades while we think in terms of days or weeks in this country. And I think that's a big mistake, to be honest with you.
Well, how do people, I agree with you. How do people get hold? I mean, what do you do for people?
Well, we are first and foremost a precious metals company, and we offer the ability to help people acquire and store precious metals independently. And, you know, I'd like to think that I'm here to assist and help answer questions and not just be an order taker. I pride myself at my accessibility and my accountability. We've done this for 29 years, Sarah. We've never had a customer complaint ever. We're one of only 24 companies in the world that's ever been approved by the United States Mint to resell their product. We have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. All of those things we're so proud of. In a federally non-regulated industry where we have so much contact with the public, we haven't aggravated someone enough just to say something really mean about us just for the hell of it, because we really try hard to do right by our clients. The state of Minnesota doesn't care about that. I've mentioned this before on your show. Minnesota is the only state in America that regulates this industry, and we are beholden to the Commissioner of Commerce with a very large certi bond and background checks of every one of our employees. And that's an ongoing every year type of deal whereby it's the only regulated state in the Wild West. And it basically means that doing business with us, not only will our reputation stick out, a company that's done this for three decades without a complaint, but also state of Minnesota will guarantee for your listeners that any business that is done will be done the right way. There is a seven-figure certi bond in place that no one else in America has to post unless you do business in Minnesota. State of Minnesota has guaranteed that there is no safer place to buy precious metals in the United States of America other than a dealer in Minnesota. We're very proud of that.
That's excellent. Okay, so when they go to your website and they want to know how much does it cost to buy silver right now and how do I get pay $1,000 and get a load of silver? What do they do?
All right, so I'm glad you brought that up, Sarah. There's been so much fraud in this industry over the past year or so that I have pulled down my online store. If I told you some of the fraud cases that we have dealt with, you would not believe it. They're so sophisticated, it's just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, like, so what? Like, how can you get hosed if you want to go to some online silver place and buy?
I'll tell you one that happened that's just unbelievable. We'll say the client's name is Sarah Westhall, and Sarah really does have her house for sale. Okay, Sarah has her house for sale, and we get an order on our online store. Sarah places an order for 2 coins, has the coins sent to her PO box, pays for the coins, calls back one of my brokers and says, I received my 2 coins. That was awesome. Thank you. By the way, I'm selling my house. It looks like it's sold. I'm going to send you a wire for $800,000 on Friday. Could we have Gold Eagle sent right away? My broker said, great. I'm glad your order went well. Yes, we can definitely send you $800,000 worth of Gold Eagles. We have to wait 48 hours. We'll send it out to you on Tuesday. Is that okay? Sure. Sure enough, Friday comes, we get a wire from the title company that says Sarah Westhall, has your name on it, and proceeds from a sold home. Everything seems in line. Everything seems great. We wait 48 hours, and on Tuesday, we ship $800,000 worth of gold to the client in California to their PO box. 2 weeks later, the FBI calls us and said, yes, indeed, Sarah's house was for sale, but that wasn't Sarah who sold the house. Somebody convinced the title company and the notary that they were Sarah and actually placed an order after they assumed Sarah's identity, received the coins because they went to a PO box and opened an account with Sarah's fake driver's license, and then convinced a title company and a notary that they then sold Sarah's house, which was really for sale, convinced a broker and the person buying the house that they were Sarah, convinced the notary or the title company to wire the funds to a precious metals company under Sarah's name, and then disappeared into the night after they received the coins. So somehow, someway, in person, in a title company notary's office, convinced them that they were Sarah. So this is going on, and there are other cases just like it that I could tell you about that are just ridiculous in terms of how sophisticated they are. So to answer your question, I no longer will sell online. I don't think it's worth it, and I think it's just lending itself to trouble. We are and always have been a company that likes to earn people's trust one-on-one. So while you can certainly see what the price of gold and silver is on our website, I am no longer offering the prices on the website in order to buy. People can call us at 800-822-8080. You can call me directly at 800-255-1129. Email me at andy@milesfranklin.com, or just give us a holler and ask us, and we will tell you right away what the price is, what quantity breaks are, and we will never disappoint in price, ever. It's just a deal. It's an unfortunate deal that fraud is very pervasive, and people should think about that in terms of identity theft and guarding your identity. And I have absolutely been blown away enough to where a company that's doing $200 million a year in sales pulls off its online store. That's how serious I believe it is. And so I'm sorry, once again, to answer your question in a roundabout way. If people want to figure out what the price is, go to our site, see what the price of silver and gold is. You'll see that clearly. Give us a call. In 30 seconds, you'll have all of your questions answered with no obligation, no high-pressure sales. Rather, someone who will answer your questions. All of our brokers have at least 2 decades of experience in the industry, can answer questions on geopolitics, on economics, on anything related to this industry without just trying to get you to write out a check and make a purchase.
Well, excellent. Thank you so much for joining us today. And I know it's something that most people haven't heard elsewhere, so I really appreciate it. Will you stick after for my patrons?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Sarah. I'm here whenever you got time. I'd love to be on.